Morning. Today's daf and Shabbos daf Kuf Chaf Hey 125. We're on Kuf Chaf Dalam and Beis 124. And the topic today, as it has been now for the last number of days, is Muksa. Let's review from what we learned yesterday. There are three categories of Muksa. There are more, but we're going to simplify and just get everything straight out for today. The Gemara brought a machlokis yesterday between Abai and Rava, but what I'm going to do today is just present Rava. That's the accepted halacha, as the Gemara is about to tell us. And there's enough information just within the position of Rava where let's just go over the shita of Rava. First of all, there's a kli shemachta lehetar, which means that the general use of this particular kli is a hetar, a spoon, a fork, a knife, a pillow. So a kli shemachta lehetar, so you're allowed to move it on Shabbos. You're allowed to move it, tzarech gufo, tzarech mekamo. Tzarech gufo means that I'm using it for my own personal use. Tzarech mekamo means I need the space right now, so I want to move the item so I could use this particular space. And according to Rava, you're allowed to move it mechamal itself. You're allowed to use it from the sun to the shade. So that means that if my pillow is right now outside, and it's really hot outside, or it's raining outside, whatever the case is, and I want to bring it inside because I want to save it, so you're allowed to move it from mechamal itself, from the outside to the inside, just to protect and to save it, even though it's not serving me in any way, shape, or form. Okay, that's klisha malachta leheter. Then there's the category of klisha malachta lister. Klisha malachta lister is talking about a kli which is fundamentally used for purposes of ister, a hammer. A hammer, nails, anything nowadays that uses electricity, basically. Okay, klisha malachta lister. So there, I'm allowed to move it, tzarech gufo, tzarech mekamo. So if it's serving me, so I'm allowed to move it. So like the examples that we gave in the beginning of the perek, where if I take a hammer and I want to crack a nut with a hammer, you're allowed to do that. That's tzarech gufo. Or tzarech mekamo. Right now I need the space. Meaning, let's say I have a pencil on this desk, and I want to use this desk now on Shabbos. So I'll take the pencil and I'll move it off the desk. In other words, that's tzarech mekamo. I need the space right now. But I cannot move kli shemachta le'iser mecham aletzel from the sun to the shade, because it's klisha machta lister. I don't have that kind of license to move a klisha machta lister. And finally, the last category of moksa, which again there are more categories, but what we learned yesterday is moksa machmas gufo, meaning something which is not a kli, The Gemara said in yesterday's daf, so that you're not allowed to move at all, meaning you have no license to move it. You cannot move it at all. So a rock, a stone, twigs. So those are things which are don't have a shame kli, and so on Shabbos you're not allowed to move them at all. Now, can you assign them status before Shabbos? So the answer is going to be yes, and we're going to talk about that in today's daf. And okay, but in other words, but aside from assigning it status, the general position is going to be that you're not allowed to move it at all on Shabbos. Adkan, that's the and that's all lefi Rava. That's all according to the position of Rava. Abaye disagrees with Rava. Abaye becomes more machmir than Rava. But right now, for our purposes, we're just reviewing the position of Rava. Today's daf is Kuf Chav Hey. We find ourselves on the back end of Kuf Chav Dalin, and we're towards the top of the Amud. Now, yesterday we ended off with a statement of the Gemara that one of the reasons why the rabbis made the Gzera of Muksa is because of the Isser Shabbos of Hotza'ah. So I noted the other the beginning when we started the 17th parak. I noted the Rambam gave a lengthy explanation in terms of why the rabbis created this gzeira derabbanan of muktzah, and the Rambam gave a host of reasons. We saw it together in the 24th parak of Hilcha Shabbos in the Rambam, and then the Ravid over there, which I did not read, the Ravid over there says there's another reason which the Rambam didn't give in terms of why the Chachamim were gozer moksa, and that is because of hotza. That's because of carrying. Because if I pick up too many items on Shabbos, I'm going to end up carrying it. The Gemara actually says it. The Ravid says that's another reason why the rabbis made the gzera of moksa, based on our Gemara that we ended off with yesterday. Okay, very good. Okay, we're continuing in the Gemara. We're on Kuf Chav Dalam at Beis, and we're at the two dots. Four lines from the top of the Amud. V'af Rav Savalalaha de Rava. Rava has good company. Rava's company is Rav. Now, historically, by the way, it goes the other way around, meaning Rav came earlier than Rava. Rav was two generations before Rava. Okay, but still, the point still being made is that Rav agrees with Rava on his position of Muksa. D'amar Rav Mar. Shalo Yiganev. Amar is some sort of spade, shovel. whatever it is, shalo yiganev. In other words, zel tiltu shalo letzarech va'aser. So if I want to bring it into the house because I'm just afraid it's going to get stolen, so Rav says you can't do that. Okay, why? Because it's tiltu shalo letzarech, meaning you're moving it for reasons that are not tzarech gufa, not tzarech makomo, and so therefore you cannot move it. So let's take stock. The shovel in question over here is the kli shemalach v'leiser. Okay. Now, if it were kli shemalach v'leheter, it sounds like from Rav's position, he would allow it to move it. So, time shelo yiganev aval letzarech gufa letzarech makomo mutter. So the Gemara makes a very simple diuk. It's because he's only moving to protect it, meaning the shovel itself, but in the that's the only reason why Rav is prohibiting moving it. But if it was for personal use, either because you actually need it or you need the space, but if you need it, so then you'd be allowed to move it. So Rav is in agreement with Rava that a kli shemalach v'leiser, you're allowed to move the tzarech gufa tzarech makomo. Inivah Rav kahanik lebei Rav amar lais lishusa lekahana. So the Gemara tells a story where Rav Kahana goes and visits Rav. And Rav, this is obviously on Shabbos, and Rav is very excited. He says, bring me a beam for Kahana, liyasev aleya, so that he could sit down on it. Okay, so what's the issue? The beam is a kli shemalach v'leiser. And what Rav is instructing is, bring the beam so that Rav Kahana could sit on it. So, sounds pretty good so far. I know it's hard to see right away what exactly the Gemara's issue is with this story, meaning we're moving a kli shemalach v'leiser for the purpose of tzarech gufo. So what's the problem? So the Gemara suggests, lav lamemer, the davar shemalach v'leiser, letzarech gufo, and letzarech makom alo. So the Gemara reads a little too much into Rav, and the Gemara says, well, you know what Rav is saying? It's only because it's tzarech gufo, so that Rav Kahana can sit on the beam. That's why Rav gives license and permission to move the beam. But if it's tzarech makomo, Rav would not have allowed it. Now, again, the Gemara is reading into the words of Rav, and as the Gemara is about to point out, that's not really what Rav meant. So the Gemara says, first of all, it could be that he wasn't saying take the beam so Rav Kahana could sit on the beam, but actually what he was saying was move the beam so that Rav Kahana has a place to sit. Okay, that, so number one, we can challenge what actually was the instructions. Or the Gemara says, no. Maybe another way to understand the context of the scenario was that really the beam was being moved from the sun to the shade. And what Rav was explaining was, look, if that were the only reason why I'd be moving the beam, I'm not allowed to do that. A kli shemalach v'leiser, I'm not allowed to move mecham letzel, as we discussed in the beginning of the daf. So what he was explaining is, even though that's true, I am moving a mecham letzel, but please understand, I'm moving it so that Rav Kahana could sit down on the beam. And it's tzarech gufo, and that's why it's allowed.
The beam is not a kli.
Right. The Gemara is assuming, it's a good point, Danny. The Gemara is assuming that the beam has some sort of status as a kli, but you're right, though. In other words, maybe it's cut, maybe it's already 2x4, maybe. But then, again, if it's wood, it's pshute kli eitz. Okay, it's a good point. Rav Mar Baruch Lahavale Ahi Bar Sidyusa Bishamsha. Gemara tells one more story of Rav Mari, son of Rachel, who had a pillow. And the pillow is right now sitting out in the hot sun. Also coming to Rava, and he goes to Rava, and he says to Rava, Ma'amarle, ma'ulatatalinhu, can I move my pillow? Now this is a pillow. So this is a klisha malachto leheter. It's totally mutter. So can I move the pillow? Amarle shari. So the answer is, of course. In other words, even though I'm not asking to move it for personal use, I'm not moving it tzarech gufo, I'm not moving it tzarech makomo, I'm simply moving it because I don't want it out there in the hot sun. So Rava says, yeah, no problem at all, because remember, that's what Rava's psak was, that a kli shemalach v'leheter, you're allowed to move mecham letzel. Is le'achrina. Now the one asking Rava this question becomes a little bit belligerent. And he says to Rava, you know, I have another pillow. So it's not like I'm going to use this pillow. So Chazal Orchim, so Rava's answer is, okay, but your guest can use it. So Islay Namil Orchim. So this guy is asking Rava, now clearly has an agenda. Meaning because even though Rava says it's okay, and Rava says, look, you may not need it, but your guest may need it, Rava's fine with it. And he's still badgering Rava. Islay Namil Orchim. So he says to Rava, look, I have pillows for my guests as well. So there's really no reason without I should be allowed to take the pillow and bring it inside the house. Amar Leh, so Rava finally figured this guy out. Galisa Daitach, Ticha Rava Sfira Leh. Oh, so it's clear that you hold like Rava. Rava or Abaye, as we discussed yesterday. You could say it either way, but in other words, you don't hold like me. You hold like Rava. So you're coming to me for a halachic shayla, and you know you don't hold like me. Now, that's not right. So lekuli amar sharli didcha aser. So look, now you want to know my opinion? For anyone else comes and asks me, I'll tell them it's okay because I hold that a klisha machkel hatu, you're allowed to move mechamel itself. But for you, it's aser. Okay, and end of discussion. Okay, and that's obviously Rava's way of dismissal. Amar Rabbi Abba, Amar Rabbi Chia Barashi, Amar Rav Mechabdos Shel Milsa, a broom made out of wool. Okay, nice soft broom, meaning it's a cloth broom, a wool broom. Mutter l'tautalan b'Shabbos, you'll have to move it on Shabbos. Now, generally speaking, such a broom, I use the word broom. That's what a mechabed is, but it's more like a soft cloth. Okay, so you're allowed to move it on Shabbos. Generally speaking, what is it used to wipe? It's used to wipe down, not the floors of the ground, but your dishes, your table. Okay, it's a klisha malachto leheter. So, Rav Ashi says you're allowed to move it on Shabbos. It's a klisha malachto leheter. Aval shel tamara, but if it's a broom made out of palm fronds, so then you cannot move it on Shabbos. It's a kli shemalachto le'isser. Why is it a kli shemalachto le'isser? So Rashi goes on to explain. I'm reading Rashi inside. Kein shalanu. So first of all, it's kind of like the brooms we have. Okay, I don't know if it's the kind of brooms that we have, but Rashi says it's the kind of brooms that we have. Look, you cannot use such a broom on Shabbos because you're leveling the floor of your house. Okay, back then they didn't have the beautiful floors that we have nowadays. No tile, no wood, no laminate. They had, their floors were basically ground. And so when you took a really hard broom and you swept the floor, you're essentially leveling the floor. And as we learned already a number of times, just as recently as yesterday, that's a malacha of bona. That's building on Shabbos. You're not allowed to build on Shabbos. The Moda Rabbi Shimon, B'Segresh of Elo Yambos. Now, Rashi also adds the fact, that's not your kavana, that's not your intent. You're not intending on leveling the floor, you just want to sweep the floor. But we all know that according to Rabbi Shimon, who holds Never Shayna Miskamin's Mutter, but it had it been a P'Segresh, but had it been automatic, so then it's Aser. And the Gemara is assuming this is P'Segresh, this is automatic, and therefore you're not allowed to sweep the floor with such a broom. The broom now we're going to categorize under the category of klisha malachto le'iser. So Rav Ashi says you're not allowed to move the broom. So aval shel tamara, Rabbi Lazar amir av shel tamara. Now Rabbi Lazar says no, even the tamara, you're allowed to move the tamara. Now b'may iskina. Now let's get this straight. Rabbi Lazar is clearly disagreeing. Okay, Rabbi Lazar the Amora is clearly disagreeing with Rav Ashi. That part I get. But let's figure out context. Now, if we're talking about moving the broom for your own personal usage, you need the broom. Now, I don't know what you're going to do with the broom, but whatever you need it for, you need the broom, or I need to move the broom because I need the space right now that the broom is occupying, and so I just need to get the broom out of the way. So, Rav is of the opinion, like Rava, that Eklisha Malachta Leiser, you're allowed to move the Tzarch Gufo, Tzarch Mekamo. So, there can't be any debate that we're talking about, it can't be that the context of the scenario is we're talking about moving a Tzarch Gufo, Tzarch Mekamo, V'harav K'rav Asfirle, Ela Mechamel Etzel. So we're talking about moving it from the sun to the shade. So, and then we're going to just simply say what we've been saying now all morning and how we concluded yesterday. Mechamel Etzel, moving from something from the sun to the shade. Tzarech gufo, tzarech mekom, I'm sorry. Klisha malachto le'iser, you're not allowed to, and klisha malachto le'iser, you are allowed to. So, b'halema Rebbe Lazar, afshal tamara. So, and then the problem is that we don't understand Rebbe Lazar. Rebbe Lazar says, you're allowed to move a palm frond broom from the sun to the shade, that shouldn't be allowed. It's a klisha malach to leser. You're not allowed to move a mecham lasel. The olam mecham lasel, ema v'cheina merev lazer. So the Gemara says, okay, what we're going to now adjust over here is not the context. We all agree what the context is. I'm moving the broom, or I want to move the broom from the sun to the shade. We're talking about a broom that's used to sweep the floor. Sweeping the floor is an iser. The broom, therefore, is a klisha malach to leser. And all we're going to adjust over here is that there's no debate. Everyone's in agreement that you're not allowed to move such a broom, mecham aletzel, from the sun to the shade, because you're not allowed to move a kli shemach talitzer, mecham aletzel. Good. And end of that discussion, we have now concluded. And by the way, that is the accepted halacha, meaning Rav is the accepted halacha. A kli shemach talitzer, you can move on Shabbat tzarech gufa tzarech mekamo, right? A pen sitting on your dining room table, okay? And you left it there, you forgot it there before Shabbos. So what you can do on Shabbos is pick up the pen and move it. And by the way, once the pen is in your hand, so you don't have to drop it, your first immediate opportunity, you can move it to wherever you want to move it to. You can pick up the pen is the klisha malach to lister, and move it away from the table, since I want to use the table right now. So that's an example of tzarech mekamo. Tzarech gufo with a pen, I don't know. Paperweight maybe? I'm not really sure, but tzarech gufo, if I need the pen for a permissible activity on Shabbos, you can also move the pen. That would also be allowed as well. Klisha malachto leheter, you can go even one step further, meaning I can move it tzarech gufa tzarech mekamo, obviously, but klisha malachto leheter, a fork, a knife, a spoon, I can even move mecham aletzel, I can move it from the sun to the shade. Okay, that's the conclusion of the Gemara, that's the halacha. Okay, let's continue. We are on the Mishnah on Kuf Chav Dalet Amud Beis. And let's go. Call Akam and tell him Shabbos Shifrei me telling me my hem. Your kli breaks. Okay, you have a kli. The kli itself is a usable item, a functional item, but it breaks. The Mishnah says you're allowed to move the kelim as well. Now, obviously, one thing that we have to identify, which the Mishnah does not do, and we're going to do in the Gemara, is when exactly did it break? Did it break before Shabbos? Did it break on Shabbos? Does it make a difference? So stay tuned, because the Gemara will ask all those basic questions. Now, according to the Tanakhama of our Mishnah, which I'll call Rabbi Meir because it'll be clear from the Gemara that that's so, the Tanakhama of our Mishnah says that you're allowed to move the shards, the broken shards of the kli, but it has to have some sort of function, it has to have some sort of use. If it does not have a function or a use, so then it's not a kli and you cannot move it on Shabbos. So, broken shards you're allowed to move, but only if they have some sort of functional use. Note, however, that according to the Tanakhama, what is that functional use? Something, anything. As long as you could use it for something. The Gemara gives examples of what we mean by that. Shivre areva. Let's say your bowl broke. You have a bowl made out of earthenware and it broke. So now all you have are these little shards. So lechasos behem is piachavis. So if I could use these shards as a lid, as a cover for another barrel, so then, that means that it's functional, it has some sort of use, and therefore you're allowed to move it on Shabbos. Shivrei zechuch is a chasus b'emes piapach. If, let's say, I had a glass vase that broke on Shabbos, and all I'm left now is glass shards, now I'll tell you to take it out of the house and don't leave it around the house, someone's going to cut themselves. Okay, but that's me. You know, I'm not overly cautious, but as long as they have some sort of functional use, listen, we live in such a disposable society. So for us, our immediate reaction would be throw it out. But, okay, let's go back to a time where not everything was so disposable. So what am I going to do now with the glass shards? So lechasos ben piapach. So I'll use it to cover the pitcher. Again, the point of the Mishnah is, the Tanakhama of our Mishnah is as long as there's some sort of functional use to the shvarim, so then you're allowed to move it on Shabbos. It does not have a muksa status. Rav Yehuda Amar Belvachi Yosem Me'im Lachtan. Rav Yehuda is more machmir. Rav Yehuda also agrees to the basic idea that if I have a kli and the kli breaks and I'm all left with the shards of the kli, I can use it if it's functional. But functionality for Rav Yehuda is a much more limited definition. Functionality for Rav Yehuda means that it has to be the same function that it originally served as in its whole status. So in other words, shivrei areva latzoch lesocha makfa. So let's say my bowl broke. I'm left with a piece of bowl that still has a receptacle shape to it. where I could use it basically for my oatmeal. Okay, you're allowed to make oatmeal on Shabbos. That's a different discussion. Not for now. But in other words, I want to use it for my oatmeal. So as long as it's still functional, where I could use it as a mini bowl, so then that would be okay. Shel zechuchis, and if my glass pitcher breaks, so as long as what I'm left with is a piece of glass that has a receptacle shape to it, lasoch lesochan shem, where I could pour oil into it, so then it does not have a muktzah status on Shabbos. But in other words, it must serve in its broken form the same function as it served in its whole form. That is the opinion of Rav Yehuda. Obviously, Rav Yehuda is being more machmir than the Tanna Kamma.
Is he concerned about Nola? Is his function
changed? Okay, so stay tuned. We're gonna touch on the Nolad issue. I'm Rav Yehuda. I'm Shmuel Machlokish and Ishbu Meir of Shabbos. Now the Gemara is going to deal with a very basic question: when did it break? It's an important question, and as Ben already points out, it's going to touch on the issue of Nolad. Stay tuned. I'm going to explain that in just a moment. So the whole debate in our Mishnah is only if it broke on Erev Shabbos. Mar Savar Mei Melachan in Mei Melacha Acheres Lo Mar Savar Afilu Mei Melachas Acheres Aval Nishbur. I'm sorry, Mei Melacha Acheres. That's where there's a debate where it broke before Shabbos. Okay, it's interesting when the Gemara presents the two sides. The Gemara kind of flips. The Gemara puts Rabbi Huda first and then Rabbi Meir next. And okay, anyway, Aval Nishburu B'Shabbos. But if it breaks on Shabbos itself. Divrei hakol mutarin, ho umuchanim al gabe avihem mutar. Because you see, if it breaks on Shabbos, that means going into Shabbos it didn't have a muktzah status. And so that means now that these broken shards are coming off of a kli that doesn't have a muktzah status. So the argument the Gemara is first trying to present is that if it breaks on Shabbos, we have no debate because the kli itself was not muktzah. The shards of such a kli that broke on Shabbos also is not muktzah. That is the Gemara's first approach, the first suggestion. Mosif Rav Zutrai. Gemara quotes an Amora, and this Amora quotes a Mishnah. Masikim Mekel Meim, Masikim Meshivrei Kelim. Now this Mishnah is talking about Anyantiv. Anyantiv, obviously, you're allowed to make a fire. You're allowed to cook on Yantiv, which of course means that you're allowed to make a fire. Now, what do you use to make a fire? So it's called wood. You probably heard of such a thing. What about not using wood, meaning not the chopped wood that I have in my backyard, but what about, let's say I don't have any wood left over, so can I use on Yantiv old wooden kalim? Okay, I don't need it anymore, and right now I'd much rather use it to make a fire. The Mishnah says, "Masikin b'kalim, ve'in masikin b'shivrei kalim." So if I have any leftover or just old wooden utensils, so I could use that to fuel the fire on Yontif. But if it broke and all I'm left with now is shards of the wooden kli, I cannot use that. So says the Mishnah in Beitzah. Now the Gemara asks the obvious question, Nishburemas, now when exactly did it break? Elam the Nishbur of Yom Tov, Eitzim Ba'amaninu. Now if it broke before Yom Tov, so what am I looking at right now? I'm looking at wood. Of course I'd be allowed to use it if it broke before Yom Tov. Because if it broke before Yom Tov, so that means going into Yom Tov, I am so happy, here I have now pieces of wood that I could use to make a fire. So Allah be Yom Tov. So obviously this Mishnah is talking about where it broke on Yom Tov. And what this Mishnah is teaching us is a very simple idea. That if the kli were whole, so then it doesn't have a muktzah status. But if it breaks on Yontif, so the shivrei kelim I cannot use on Yontif. Because, now we'll say it, Ben, because of Nolad. Because I have now something which I did not have before Yontif, which now I have on Yontif. This is a muktzah which is given a special term. It's called Nola. Nola literally means something that's born on Yontif. Now, it can apply to a chicken laying an egg on Yontif. The egg is Nolad. But even in this case over here, the pieces of wood that that came from a kli and it broke off a kli on Yontif falls under this category of Nolad. And therefore, you cannot use it on Yontif. So, we're kind of stuck because what we were trying to argue is that if a kli breaks on Shabbos, well, since the kli was a muktzah, neither are the pieces as well. So the Gemara says, okay, we're going to have to do an about face. The Gemara is about to do a 180. Elei itmar hachi itmar. So the Gemara here now does this 180. Am Rav Yehuda, Am Shmuel, Machlokish Nishbu b'Shabbos. The whole debate is when it breaks on Shabbos. Demar Savar Muchan Hu, Umar Savar Nolad Hu. Where that's exactly the debate. Whether or not it is Nolad or it is not Nolad. Avam Erev Shabbos, Devar Alkom Mutarin Hol V'Uchan Olam Malachim Ba'od Yom. But before Shabbos, so since it... Since you designated a function and use for it going into Shabbos, so therefore it does not have the muksa status. And now, Ben, it affords us the opportunity to look back at the Mishnah. Now we have a much better understanding of the Mishnah. Meaning, what's this business in the Mishnah, whether it serves a function or has to serve specifically its original function? So now you understand, because the whole case of our Mishnah is talking about where it broke not before Shabbos, it broke on Shabbos. And so now essentially what we're faced with is not just a general muksa question, we're faced with a question of nolad. Is this a new entity? And to that, Rav Yehuda in our Mishnah says, well, I'll tell you, it's going to be a new entity if it doesn't serve its original function, but if the piece that I have left is serving the original function of what it was serving while it was whole, this is not nolad, it's not a new item, it's the same item. A little bit smaller, but it's the same item because that is the same function. And apparently in our Mishnah, Rabbi Meir, the Tanakhama of our Mishnah, is of the position that, well, as long as it serves some function, it's not nolad. It's a little bit harder to explain, but at least now we understand in our Mishnah, the issue really in our Mishnah is whether or not we are... This item is subject to the prohibition of nolad. Tinichada, now, okay, we quote that Mishnah in Beitza regarding using your wood utensils as fuel for the fire. So now we're going to have three brises back to back to back. Tinichada, we learned in one brise, Masikim Mekelem, Masikim Meshiver Kelem. That if I have a wood utensil, I could use it as fuel for the fire, but if it breaks on Yantiv, I cannot use the pieces because the pieces are Moksa. Tanyidach, I have a second brisa. Kishem shemasikim mekelim, kach masikim b'shiver kelim. I could use a kli and I could use also broken kli as well. Even if it breaks on yantiv, I could take those wooden pieces and use it for fuel for the fire. And then I have a third brisa for tanyidach, a masikim l'bekelim l'b'shiver kelim. I cannot use a wood utensil to fuel my fire. Neither if it's broken and not even if it was whole and intact. Okay, so we obviously have three brises and obviously no agreement between the three brises. But the Gemara over here is going to give a very quick and simple, not an elegant, but a simple solution to how do we understand these three brises? Ha Rebbe Yehuda, Ha Rebbe Shimon, Ha Rebbe Nechemiah. We're going to just assign different authorship to all three brises. Okay, let's start off with the first brisa. The first brisa that we quoted is the brisa of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda, who subscribes to all the laws of Muktzah, and of course subscribes to Nolad as well. So, can I use a kli, a wooden kli, as fuel for the fire? Sure. Okay, because it has, going into Yontif, it does not have a Muktzah status. But once it breaks, what becomes of those shvarim, of those pieces? Those pieces now are Nolad. So, and Rav Yehuda subscribes to the whole concept of muksa. So therefore I can't use them for fuel for the fire. That's brisa number one. Brisa number two that says you could use it all. You could use a kli, you could use a shivrei kli. That brisa subscribes to the position of Rabbi Shimon. Now you're going to hear this a number of times. And when we get to Beitza, you're going to hear it a lot. Rabbi Shimon lay muksa. Rabbi Shimon does not subscribe to the concept of muksa. Now that statement often gets qualified in the Gemara. But for our purposes right now, we don't have to qualify it. Meaning Rabbi Shimon doesn't hold a muksa. Now, does that mean not at all? So, no, not exactly. But again, for our purposes, let's just simply say Rabbi Shimon doesn't subscribe to muksa. So that means then that according to Rabbi Shimon, I'm allowed to use the wooden kli for fuel. And even if it breaks, I can use the pieces as well for fuel as well. And then the last brisa that says I could use neither. Neither the wooden kli nor the pieces of the wooden kli. Who's that? That's Rabbi Nechemiah. Rabbi Nechemiah, who we've keep running into again and again, the 17th parak of Shabbos. He's of the position, the most strict position when it comes to moksa, that I can only move a kli for its designated purpose and for nothing else. So when I have a wooden kli, what's its designated purpose? Whatever it was made for. If it's a wooden fork, it was made for eating. If it's a wooden knife, it was made for cutting. So in other words, what its intended purpose is, that's the only reason why I'm allowed to move it. So if I have a wooden fork and I decide on Yontif, you know, that this wooden fork, I'm done with it. I'll throw it into the fire and use it for a fuel. Rabbi Nechemiah says, you can't do that, because I can only move a kli on Yontif for its designated purpose. So that last price is going like Rabbi Nechemiah. Continuing in the Gemara, Amar Rav Nachman. Hani livne dishtai mibinyana. Let's say I had bricks brought to the house because we're gonna repave the driveway. We're gonna build an extension, an addition, and some, or just we're building a house, and some bricks are left over. Okay, so now on Shabbos, can I sit on those bricks, or more to the point, can I move those bricks? Shari letautolenu dechazel mizgai alayu. The answer is sure. Since those bricks are fit for sitting on, and since they're left over from the construction, so therefore you can sit on them. I'm going to make the point stronger, because by muksa, the whole idea of muksa is not just, the point of muksa is that you're allowed to move it. So you're allowed to even move them so that people can sit on it, because they're fit for that action. However, sharginhu, but let's say he stacks the bricks up before Shabbos, one on top of the other. Okay, vaday aktsinu. What he's demonstrating with that stacking is that I'm going to use these bricks for another job. So in other words, I cannot use them on Shabbos because I am maksa them midas. I basically remove them from my mind, and so therefore now they have the status of muksa. I'm Rav Nachman. I'm Shmuel Cheres Ketana Mutal Talta Bechatzer. If I have small earthenware jug, I can move it in a courtyard. Aval bekarmelus, but not in a karmelus. Now, moving something in a karmelus, wait a second, you're not allowed to move anything in a karmelus. You're not allowed to pick something up in a karmelus and move it 4 amos in a karmelus. So what's the Gemara talking about over here? Rashi says, even if I'm not going to move it 4 amos, meaning we're just talking about picking it up and putting it down in its spot. So this small earthenware container, I can move in a chatzah, but not in a karmelus. Very hard to understand. Meaning, is it muksa or is it not muksa? And what difference would it make where it's situated? Okay, it's very interesting Gemara. It's very difficult to understand. The way Rashi presents it is that in a chatzer, since most people would pick it up and use it, so therefore it has functionality and use, and therefore you're allowed to move it. But in a karmelis, where it is less accessible and less people would use it, so therefore it has a muksa status. So it's very interesting Gemara that something is going to have a muksa status depending on where it is. Rav Nachman, now that's Rav Nachman quoting Shmuel. Rav Nachman didei amar, now Rav Nachman's own personal position is, I feel a bit karmelis, that even if the small earthenware container is in a karmelis, it does not have muksa status and you're allowed to pick it up and use it. Aval b'rishus harabim, lo. But if it's situated in a rishus harabim, then you cannot pick it up and move it. Now again, I'll just go over the same question and answer. Rishus harabim, who's picking anything up in a rishus harabim? You're not allowed to carry in a rishus harabim, and again, we'll make the same point. You're not picking it up and moving it 4 amos. That you're not allowed to do. You're picking it up, using it, and putting it back down again. Are you allowed to do that? So I'll just simply say yes. Not because I know that confidently, but it certainly sounds from the Gemara, it certainly sounds from Rashi, that that's correct, that's accurate, that you're allowed to pick it up and you're allowed to put it back down again. You just can't go 4 amos in a Rishus Rabim. Now, the Rava Amar, Afil Rishus Rabim. Now, Rava says, even if the small earthenware jug is found in a Rishus Rabim, you can pick it up, you can use it, you can put it down again. Okay? You are allowed to use it even if it's found in Rishus Rabim. V'az the Rava Latami, the Rava Havakazal Beritka. Rava was traveling in a Ritka. Now, what a Ritka is, I don't know, but it's a Rishus Rabim. Okay? That's how Rashi sets it up. Beritka de Mechuza. And Istave misane tina. What happened is his shoes got muddy. Also shame, now he had an attendant, a servant, shakal chazba v'kamechaper lay. And the attendant picked up a pottery piece in the Rishus HaRabim, wiped off the mud of Rava's shoes, and put it back down again. Now, I'm going to say the attendant is Jewish. Even if he's not Jewish, still, in other words, if you have an Eved Kenani, he has to be a Shomer Shabbos. Okay. Regardless of what his status is, the point that the Gemara is making is a very simple one, is that even though this small earthenware jug or container, whatever it is situated in Rishus Rabim, Rava's of the position does not have muksa status. Now, Rama Bei Rabban and Kala, now this was very provocative. It was very controversial. The rabbi saw Rava do this, and the rabbi say to Rava, what are you doing? Amar, so now this is Rava's response to the Chachamim. Obviously, Rava had confidence in his position. Lo mistaye de lo gemiri. Bad enough, you rabbis don't know anything, but migmar nami magmere. But then you're sharing your ignorance with other people? Wonderful. I'm so happy that you're sharing your ignorance. Ila bechatza have mila have chaz ila kisui beimana. Look, this pottery shard, if you saw in a chatzar, would it have function? Would it have used? Sure. You would use it to cover a container. So since it has status in the chatzir, so it also has status, and therefore it's not muksa in Rishus Rabim as well. So I'm of the opinion that regardless of where it is, it's in a chatzir, it's in a karmelis, it's in a Rishus Rabim, it doesn't matter. It does not have muksa status, it has use and function, and therefore he felt that his attendant was right for taking it, picking it up, wiping off the mud off of his shoes and putting it back down again. The problem with the stone, again, we're going to go back to the point that we made yesterday. The stone is not a kli. The pottery shard is broken off of a kli, and as long as it still has some sort of function, it still has kli status. That's all the difference. I'm reviewing Amr Shmuel, Megufas Chavishe Nichtata. I have a lid of a barrel, and the barrel itself, now I say barrel, you think wood, so let's say it's not wood, it's earthenware. Whatever the case is, it breaks, the barrel breaks, and the lid's still intact. Mutar l'taltal b'Shabbos, you're allowed to move the lid on Shabbos. In other words, the lid still has some function and still has use, and so therefore you're allowed to move it, so says Shmuel. Tanya Mehachi, the Gemara supports Shmuel with a Brisa Magufa, Shenichtata, he ushvareha. He meaning the lid and the shards of the barrel can be moved on Shabbos, Motel Tatal B'Shabbos. The lo yaspos mimena, shever lechasos ba'as akli, velismach ba'karamita. Now, Rashi explains, but what you cannot do is start adjusting the shards. Meaning, let's say the shard is not a good fit. So I'll trim an edge over here, I'll trim an edge over here. That you cannot do on Shabbos. That's exactly what Rashi says. V'have make b'patish, Rashi writes that that would be a perfect example of applying the finishing touch to an item, which is a malacha on Shabbos. So lo yisput mim neshev lachatz v'asakliv, l'smach b'kar emita, v'im zarka b'asha asar. Now if I throw into the garbage, it becomes prohibited. Now, that last line is an extraordinarily strange one. Meaning I have something which is a kli on Shabbos. In this case, it's a broken kli, but a broken kli, as long as it has function, is under the category of a kli. If I throw it into the garbage, it loses its status, and it now is subject to the Isser of Muksa.
You made a declaration by throwing it
over. Now, maskifla Rav Papa, hachinami daster. Now, Rav Papa says, I don't understand. If I take a shirt, a garment, and I throw it in the garbage on Shabbos, does it lose status? No. So, Allah Marav Papa, Imzaka Mibel Yomlish La Ashba Asura. So, in clarification, Rav Papa says, if you throw something out on Shabbos, you can't remove status. Okay, I said this a couple of times. I'll reiterate it right now. The status of a kli is determined Bein Hashmashos. Bein Hashmashos, the kli gets locked in as either a functional kli or not a functional kli. Okay? That's the time when something gets locked in. So if on Shabbos I throw something out, I cannot take a status away from an item. If before Shabbos I throw something out, so then that means that I've declared before Shabbos that to me it has no function, it has no use, and then en achinami, going into Shabbos, the item will have lost its status. Amar, sorry, me bo yomasura. Amar bar.
Sorry, when you threw in the garbage, had it been broken before Shabbat or after?
No, it had been broken before Shabbat. And even if, I mean, I'm going to take it one step further, but I'm not confident about this. Even if it were a full kli and I threw it out, maybe then also it loses its status of being a kli. I'm not sure if I'm right about that, but okay. Amar bar hamaduri amar Shmuel. More discussion about broken utensils. Krumio shel machatzelos motel tatalam b'shabbos. I have mats or reeds, and what I'm left with is a couple of pieces of the mat or the reed. So are you allowed to move it on Shabbos? My time, Amar Rava Barham Duri Asberli Machatzelos Gufalam Aichas. Yeah. Look, what do I do with a mat or a reed? So lechusul yebaafra. I use it as a mat. Now, I know that sounded extraordinarily intelligent, but in other words, I lay the mat down in the front of my house right after a person walks in to cover the dirt. People could step on the mat. If I'm left with a couple strands of the mat or the reed, same story. Meaning people can use it to cover dirt in their house. So in other words, it still has function and use. It's kind of like in our Mishnah, where we're describing where it has the original function and the original use. If I have shmata and the remnant of a shmata, so they cannot use it on Shabbos because it lost its status. It has no longer any function to use. Amar Abaye ben Matloni Shem Behem Gimel Gimel. The Gemara further clarifies that it has to be where it's small. It's so small. It's no longer 3x3 etzbaos. Delo chazin lo lanim velo lashirin. So here it really serves no function whatsoever. Then it has lost its status of a kli, and therefore you cannot move it on Shabbos. But if it's 3x3, where it has some sort of function and use, it could be used as a patch. It could be put down to sit on. It has some sort of function in use, so therefore it doesn't lose its kli status. Tanu Rabbanan Shivrei Tanu Yashan. And I would suspect that what we're going to be able to accomplish now, to the end of today's daf, is basically get to the bottom of the Amud, and from here until the bottom of the Amud, to the next Mishnah, we're basically going to be discussing one Tosefta. Now, some of the discussion upcoming is going to be a little complicated, and I am going to do it quickly, and I apologize in advance. Broken pottery of an oven. Oven back in the good old days was earthenware, and thick earthenware. And here the Tosefta is describing broken shards of an oven. Harehen kechol hakelim hanitalim bechatzer, divrei Rebbe Meir. So Rebbe Meir's position is, it's like any other kli, can be moved in the chatzer. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Eini Talim, and Rabbi Yehuda says it cannot be moved. The broken shards of the oven. Hey, Rabbi Yossi, Mishum Rabbi Lazar ben Yaakov, Ashivri Tanu Yashan, Sheni Talim B'Shabbos, and then the Gemara ends off by saying that testimony was given by Rabbi Lazar ben Yaakov. Rabbi Lazar ben Yaakov did not speak much. We don't have a lot of statements of Rabbi Lazar ben Yaakov, but whatever we do have, Kav Venaki. It's very clean. It's on the mark. He says that you're allowed to move the broken shards of the oven. And another point is that if you have a lid that does not have a handle, we will see later on, debatable whether it's muksa or not muksa. He's of the opinion, he's testifying that it does not require a handle. A lid of a pot has status of a kli even without a handle. Okay? But we're focusing right now on the broken shards of the oven. Now, we know the following. Rav Meir says you can move it, and Rav Yehuda in our Mishnah says you cannot, of the Tosefta, says you cannot move it. What is the understanding? Why are they debating? What's behind the debate? The Gemara will give no less than three explanations of what this machlokus is going on. Amar Abaye Bosemein Malacha Rav Yehuda Tamei Rav Meir Latamei. So the Gemara's first attempted explanation is whether or not these broken pieces of the oven can serve as the original function. Sorry. Do they need to serve the original function, or is it enough that they serve any general function? And the machlokas in this Tosefta aligns perfectly with the machlokas in the Mishnah. So maskev la rava yachad demiflegi b'shivrei tanur liflegu b'shivrei kelim ba'alma. So then my question to you is a very simple question. Why are they arguing about an oven? Isn't it a more general debate that they have regarding kelim in general? And why are they speaking specifically about an oven? It's got to be a reason why they're talking specifically about an oven. El amarava b'shivrei d'haytana kemifligi did not. So the Gemara says they're not talking about any kelim in general, but the debate between the two of them is a much more specific debate regarding this particular oven. Now, what particular oven? Did not. It's based on a Mishnah in kelim. Nasno api abor api sadus. Now, an oven back then was a lot simpler than our ovens back are now. And our ovens really now are not that complicated. I know we have some of them are, you know, electric timers and all that, but the basic structure of an oven is that it's a contained area, you heat it up, put a lid on it, and then you put the food inside. It basically, back then, their ovens looked like a large pot, sometimes heated from the inside, sometimes the heat source was external. This oven in question was put over a pit or a piados. Now, a dus is also a pit, but Rashi explains is that it's not a hole in the ground, but it's a hole in a building. Whatever the case is, the point being is that it's actually affixed to the earth. V'nasan sham evan. However, it's not a perfect fit into the earth, and in order for it to be a perfect fit into the earth, I need to lodge stones in order to really get it into the earth. Rav Yehuda Omer Yimasik Melamata V'hu Nisak Melamala Tamei V'im Lav Tanur. Now Rav Yehuda is of the following position. In order for this to be deemed as an oven, it has to be such where it can be heated from the bottom. Meaning that the stones that are wedged in are so small that really very little heat escapes through the side and it can be heated from the bottom. So basically, this has become part of the earth. Interestingly enough, Rav Yehuda is of the opinion that an oven is only mekabel tuma, only if it's affixed to the earth. Now, in the world of tuma, that's counterintuitive, right? Very good. In the world of tuma, that's counterintuitive. Usually, something which is grounded is not mekabel tuma. Okay, acknowledged. An oven for Rav Yehuda is different. An oven for Rav Yehuda is only going to become tameh when it's actually affixed to the earth. And if the stones are lodging it in, and the stones are really big, and I can't heat it up from the bottom, it's not considered affixed to the ground. And the Chachamim say, I don't care how it becomes heated up, and I don't care if it heats up from the outside or from the inside. An oven is an oven is an oven. And it doesn't have to be affixed to the earth. And now the Gemara goes on to explain even better, what is this argument of, does it have to be affixed to the earth or not? The Pasuk says, regarding an oven, Tanu V'kiraim, yutat tameim, heim tameim yulachem. Now the key word over here is the verb that's used, yutats. The Torah does not say nishbar, the Torah says yutats. Rabbi Yehuda says, mechusen etitza tamei shein mechusen etitza tahor. So Rabbi Yehuda says that's the very definition of an oven. It has to undergo this process of netitza. Now, I don't know enough about the Hebrew language to tell you this, but I will tell you this, that netitza is only for an item that's connected to the ground. If it's not connected to the ground, the word netitza is just not appropriate. Okay, why that should be? So the person who knows Hebrew better than me will explain that better. But that's Rav Yehuda. V'rabbanan savri tamei yulachem mikol makom. And the Chachamim say, yeah, but look at the end of the pasuk. It says tamei yulachem. V'rabbanan ami aksiv yutatz. Now, what is the Chachamim going to do with the word yutatz? So, le'idach kisa. D'saka da'at chamin ha'kevin d'chavre ba'ara k'gufa da'ara damei. Yeah, the Chachamim say, you know why the Torah says yutatz? Because I might have thought what we suggested just a moment ago. What are you talking about? If it's grounded in the ground, it's not mekabel tuma, because anything grounded is not mekabel tuma. The house is not mekabel tuma. The oven that's solidified into the ground is not mekabel tuma. Kamash malan, the chiddush is that no, it will be mekabel tuma. The idach nami aksiv tameim yulachem ayikad Rav Yehuda mishmol dam Rav Yehuda mishmol machlokus behesek rishon. The whole debate over here is that first firing up of the oven. Ava behesek shini afilo tala b'tzaver gamal. Even if it's hanging by the neck of the camel, somewhat of an exaggeration. Point being is that after the oven has been heated up in the ground, now it has the status of an oven, and regardless then of where it is, it's going to be mekabel tuma. Amar ulav hasak rishon la rabbanah filo tola b'tzaver gamal. Now Ule over here is just clarifying that according to the Chachamim, even if that first heating up of the oven was while the oven was hanging off the neck of a camel, simply meaning it's not affixed in the ground, it's still going to be Mekabel Tumah. So Maskevla Ravashi Yahachia Demiflugi B'Shivrei Tana Liflugu B'Tana Gufa. So wonderful. You want to tell me that's the machlokus between Rav Yehuda and Rav Meir of the Tosefta? So why are they talking about shards of an oven? Meaning the debate is really a fundamental debate. When is an oven Mekabel Tumah? So instead of talking about shards of an oven, talk about the oven itself. If the oven, if the original oven is not a kli, so of course the pieces are not a kli. The issue over here is as we originally presented it, where the shards of the oven can be used as an oven, oven-like. Look, my threshold of what is a kli of shvarim, as long as it has any function whatsoever. So the shards of this oven are not muksa. But look, the tiles of the oven, I understand it's no longer an oven, it's broken pieces of an oven. But at least can't we heat up the tiles and then cook something on the heated tiles? Rav Yehuda lo dami, and Rav Yehuda will tell you it's not the same. Look, on a regular oven, it's usually fired up from the inside. Here, these broken tiles have to be heated externally. Two, in a regular oven, things are cooked vertically, along the side of the oven wall. On these broken tiles, I lay the tile down. I put something on the tile that's cooked horizontally. It's a different type of cooking. And so therefore, I don't feel that's me'ain malachtan. And so consequently, it's going to be muksa on Shabbos. Okay? The Tosefta records a machlokes between a debate between Rav Yehuda and Rav Meir regarding the shards of an oven. What's the debate? The Gemara attempted three times. Third is a charm. The Gemara's conclusion is that I can cook with these tiles. Is that still qualifies me'ain malachtan? That's the debate between Rav Yehuda and Rav Meir. Stop over here. We'll pick it up tomorrow. Two dots. Bottom of the Amud.